everybody in our North Central Church family and beyond. Pastor Dan here. I have a very special guest with me. We support a whole bunch of missionaries, and one of the missionaries we support is Annie Bullard. I have Annie with me here today. Thanks for joining us, Annie. Annie's a special missionary. She's local. We love her, support her. She is a very unique mission that God has sent her on. It's a joy to support that. And Annie, that's really, it's possible that a lot of people that are engaging here with us don't really know who you are and what you do. Give us a little summary as to what your mission is and how unique it is.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, hello, right back at you, Pastor Dan, and all of North Central. I am so blessed to be here. It's a real honor. So thank you so much for that. My ministry is 99.1. We've been at it for just shy of 6 years. And what we do is we expose God's love to sex workers in Central New York. We typically go into the local strip clubs and just share God's word. We bring in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. 99.1. Our accompanying scripture is found in Matthew 18:12-14, and it says this, look at it this way. If someone has 100 sheep and one of them wanders astray, doesn't he leave the 99 to go after the one? And when he finds it, doesn't he make far more over it than the 99 who stayed put? Your Father in heaven feels the same way. So that's what we do. We go out in search of the one. We do that because God's word tells us that he so loved the world that he gave his son. It doesn't say that he so loved the cleaned up version. He so loved it when we got saved, and then when we became all squeaky. He so loved the world that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're taking that bent. We're exposing his love. We're doing what Jesus did in befriending sinners. And I'm so glad he befriended me. And so I'm just doing likewise. So that's what we do. We go into dark places, dark corners of our backyard, and we share the good news of Jesus.
So just to be clear, I've got a clear picture of what you're doing by proclaiming the gospel. Give me a really quick summary. You're not going into clubs and preaching. You're not proclaiming with your words primarily. Give me a quick little, what does that look like for people who can only picture you handing out tracts and preaching?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, you know, when the idea first came to us, it came as an unction. And you never know those unctions you got to follow up on, right? So I didn't know what it would look like because I typically don't visit strip clubs. So I was terrified. And I pray a lot. And so what I felt like we were supposed to do is go in with gifts of love, extravagant gifts that says you're worth it. And so we've saturated the area. We go into the strip clubs. We're in all eight. And we go in with what we call love bombs. And so we go in, we're in most of the dressing rooms. So the management ushers us into the dressing rooms. We spend anywhere from 5 to 35 minutes just praying with the girls, laughing with girls, chit-chatting, and they love their gifts. So that's what we do. We gift them, no strings attached. From there, Pastor, it has kind of exploded, and we've gone into Bible study. So actually, since COVID, we meet every single Monday night. A few of the girls come on in, and we have a Zoom call, and it's just a real rich time. So that's basically what we do and what it looks like today.
Well, that was Annie. So glad you got a chance to meet her. And my name is Dan. I am honored to serve as pastor here in the North Central Church family, and I grew up in the church, so I got to meet a whole bunch of missionaries. And I realized looking back, as I heard from missionary after missionary, that I didn't really understand missions. And the reason I know I didn't understand missions is because I was mildly shocked every time the missionary who came to our church and spoke to us didn't look like this. I, in my mind, pictured missionaries to look like this, including the whip and the sword, Indiana Jones all the way. So I know I didn't understand missions. And over time, as I've learned what missions is, I've learned that God has given his people an identity. It's our identity as believers is not achieved. We don't achieve missionary identity. Instead, it's received. In our church family, we believe as the church that we are a family of missionary servants. So we believe that God has made us as his people missionaries, and I have come to discover that our missionaries look more like Annie than they do Indiana Jones. They look pretty normal. Here's two of the missionaries that we currently support who look very normal, very unlike Indiana Jones. Harshbergers, Sadios, they look quite normal. They are believers who belong to God's church, and he has picked their lives up, and he has sent them to go, and they have left home because they are missionaries. And it's important for us to recognize that in order to better understand missions, in order to better understand missionaries, we have to better understand who God is. And that's our big idea today that we're going to kind of lean into, and I hope you're locked in and ready to go. And if you're not locked in, I hope you're leaning in, because we're going to look closely at what God says to us about serving and supporting missionaries, about being sent as a missionary and supporting those who are sent as a missionary. And you can only understand missions rightly. You can only get your mind around missions. You can only fully grasp it if you understand God rightly. And when you do, when you get the picture, when you get the idea, here's what you learn. You learn that his people are a whole family of missionary servants, that we are together in family, but also we aren't just caring for each other. We see ourselves as missionaries looking outward and living outward. And what do we do while we're doing that? We are servants. So before we get too far, let me give you three premises. These are key premises that are going to show up in this message. But in order to understand missions rightly, you have to understand God rightly. And there are some premises to that, okay? So we're going to go through three of these. Number one, the number one premise that I want to start with is that the gospel isn't mine. The good news message doesn't belong to me, and it isn't primarily for me and my people who look like me or my people who live like me. My message is not only for me and you and us. So that's the first premise. Second premise is that guilt is the wrong motive to reach people. Now, wouldn't you agree that guilt is a motive? In fact, guilt is a powerful motive. But guilt is not the right motive to be reaching people. That isn't the power that God gives us to reach people. In our church family, we like to say that when you're here among our church family, you're among people who live free. And one of the things that you live free from is you live free from guilt, meaning that there is a power that's more substantial, that is more sacred, that is more honorable, that is more pure than guilt. So missions is motivated, but it's not motivated by the guilt to obey the Great Commission. Thirdly, third premise, the Bible is not primarily about me. I know that I and my life principles can be found in the Bible. I know that God speaks to me, my design, who I am, and what he's made me to be, who he's made me to be. But The Bible isn't primarily about me. The Bible is primarily about God, who he is, what he's done, who he has created me to be, and how then should I live. So the scriptures that we read, when we read the Bible, we read primarily about God and not about us. So you can only understand missions rightly if you understand God rightly. So why does our church family, North Central Church, why do we invest in missions? Why do we give money? Why do we give time? Why do we give attention like this as we stream out someone like Annie from 99.1? Why does our church invest in missions? $40,000 plus, well over $40,000. Plenty of time and interest. Well, there are three reasons, and they're going to start here with the scripture. here in the book of Acts. God has already sent his son. He has lived, died, been buried, and resurrected. And then God begins to explode on the scene through the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes here after Jesus ascends, and he says, I have to ascend so I can send you the Spirit. And then when the Spirit comes, the Spirit sends God's people. So here we are in the book of Acts, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And what are we going to do? If we're going to be God's witnesses and the Holy Spirit's power has come upon us, what do we do with it? You're going to tell people, and you're going to tell people about me, and you're going to tell people about me everywhere. Like where? Like in Jerusalem, your home city. Like in Judea, your surrounding nation, like Samaria, out of your borders and boundaries. And how far will we go? To the end of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is the compelling filler of God's people that sends us as missionaries to go and tell people about me, everyone. So we see that right in the scripture. And here's what we learn, that God is literally explaining to us, describing to us, in his own word, that he has given us power with the intention that the gospel message would be sent and spread and shared, both demonstrated and also declared to all people everywhere. And we see it in all aspects that God has explained this to us. While all humanity will not be saved by God's grace, we know that not every single person will respond to God's mercy. The gospel is expected to be proclaimed. Now, if you're a universalist, you believe that everyone will be saved, that somehow that there's either the goodness in the human heart, or that by the universal grace of God is going to save every person. And we don't see that the scripture says that everyone will be saved. We know that God desires everyone to be saved, but not everyone is. But we recognize the universality in the gospel, and that means the gospel is for all people everywhere. And the reason why the gospel is for all people everywhere is this, and you have to listen close to this. It's because sin is everywhere. Everywhere there's a human being, the stain of sin has tarnished, corrupted our nature. And you can see that. If you're watching the news with me, you see the brokenness, and you see the heartache. The brokenness is in plain view on television. And you're watching with me the painful, universal brokenness being expressed in our country over the painful deaths of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. And I've recognized that there are limitless voices that are speaking to this issue now. Far more articulate voices than my voice. Authors, speakers, and activists. And I don't want to make a public statement to you or to platform my voice because it's trendy or because other people feel like the leader of the church ought to do it. And I certainly don't want to speak out as if I'm a credible voice or an expert in race relations or institutional racism or systemic racism. I don't believe myself to be an expert, credible voice in those areas. But I know who God is. And I know how God shapes his people. I can speak to his church. And I know that God condemns the oppression of powerless people, especially, this is cover to cover in the Bible, especially the oppression of the powerless people by those who are in power politically, those who are in power in systems and institutions. God condemns the oppression of the weak and the powerless. And this is all injustices. He condemns all inequality, every race, nation, tongue, and tribe. And God's people are identifiable. You can tell who God's people are because according to the scriptures, God's people love justice. They love restorative justice. They love mercy. You can spot God's people because they embrace and love and take to heart humility. Justice and mercy, and there's a God's people walk with a humility, deferring to others, elevating others, preferring other people. God's people also are the ones who look past human behaviors in order to understand and love people beyond behavior, beyond bad behavior of protesters. They look beyond the bad behavior of police. They look beyond the bad behavior of politicians. And they look into the heart and they see where the behaviors are springing from. And when you do that as God's people, you see anger and pain. You see people who are visibly now openly expressing their hurt and their own individual and collective pain, fear. And you can see now open expressions of hatred. And we've been seeing expressions of racism on the television for plenty of years now in our country. Now, we talk a lot in our church family about gospel transformation, and what that means is that God has done a work miraculously by his Holy Spirit to change the heart of his people, gospel transformation. And so I wonder if you would join with me as God's people in expressing this new heart that you have, this new heart that would express itself in compassion for people who have no voice, for people who are weak, too weak to stand up to the power structures, too weak to stand up to those who are pressing them and oppressing them. Our heart feels with empathy. Our hearts as new people, God's people, hurt with those who hurt. Our hearts mourn with people who mourn. Why does it do that? Because we are God's people, and God's people have new hearts. And we also have new eyes. God's people have new eyes to see people who are created in God's image, who have dignity and value and worth. It is not because they're innocent, but because God made them in his image. And we have new eyes to see people, no matter what race, nation, tongue, or tribe, whether they are innocent or guilty, new eyes that get to see someone's intrinsic God-given value. Join me in seeing people the way that God sees them. We also, as God's people, have new ears. And we get to express his love by listening and learning from people groups who are trying to tell us something. They are expressing themselves. And we get to spend more time listening and learning from hurting people who are just asking, in many cases, to be heard and understood. God's people also have a new mouth, and we get the joy and the privilege of speaking up as God would have us speak up and provide and give a voice to those who don't feel like they have a voice, and to speak up and to speak out for people who God helps us to easily see are powerless people. Every single race, nation, tongue, and tribe, we can speak out for and speak up for. Every race, nation, tongue, and tribe, God's people can speak up for and speak out for. And knowing, by the way, and knowing that it isn't a political statement, it's a statement of God creating people in his image, with dignity and value and worth. And that's what we speak up to say. These people, no matter what race, nation, tongue, and tribe, they have value and they have worth and they have been created in God's image. Every human that's born and unborn, God's people have a voice, a new mouth. And I wonder if, church family, if you would join me in lamenting all of the pain and all of the suffering that human beings experience as they suffer under the inequality and suffer under injustice, inequality underneath the Constitution and injustice underneath the law. And you and I can lament, not just lamenting for our own race, nation, tongue, and tribe, but all of them. And we have the ability to do that and the power to do that. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to look to God for healing. Our healing for our people is going to come from God. Our healing doesn't come by better policies. It doesn't come through better policing. And healing isn't going to come through more acceptable protesting. Instead, here's what we know. As God's people, we know that healing comes in the form of broken and humble hearts. And Jesus alone has the ability to lower the prideful and the powerful. And Jesus alone, through his gospel and through his love, has the ability to lift up those who are powerless. It's a miraculous way in which Jesus levels the playing field. No matter how much power you have to give it up to come to Jesus. No matter how powerless you are, he dignifies you with value and worth and receives you and accepts you and forgives you and he lifts you up. We all come to Jesus the same way in humility. Jesus is the one solution for all sin and for all sinners. And North Central Church family, we have a new heart of compassion, new eyes to see dignity, value, and worth because people are made in God's image. We have new ears to listen and learn from people. And ultimately, we know that we have a new voice, a new mouth to speak up and speak out for people who wouldn't be able to do it on their own. Whether you know them, whether you believe them, whether you trust them or not, if people belong to God and we have that privilege to speak on his behalf and to express who he is to all people. And here's what we learn, that Jesus, through the good news of the gospel, is sufficient to heal all people in all times. And as we continue to suffer and lament that God continues to tarry and has not returned to redeem and to restore and bring justice ultimately, finally, and fully, we can be in prayer that Jesus would be known and that he would heal hearts that are hurting. The one solution for the universality of all sin is Jesus. He's totally sufficient for all of our neighbors and all the nations. Completely. So here's what I encourage you to do. Turn your own heart, your own direction, and let yourself come under and come into the grace of Jesus and see the world the way that he sees it. And you might say, now, Pastor, I get what you're saying. We have to do this because Jesus commanded us to. We have to do this because God commanded us to. And here's what I want you to see, that even though you might kind of identify and say, Pastor, I know what you're saying. You're saying we should kind of be obedient. These are commands of God. And really, they're not. That's not the reason. What I'm hoping to kind of communicate to you is this, is that world missions, going and loving and seeing people with God's eyes and going to them with the good news of the gospel, it exists by God's character, not by his commands. It isn't based on what he says, it's based on who he is. That's the reason. And understanding the nature of God is paramount. It is so substantial to laying the proper foundation for the right motivation for us being people of mission, a church of missionaries. Missions is not primarily about what God has commanded. It is primarily about who God is. It's primarily about his character. Missions is an outflow of God's nature. It's an outflow of his character. And here's what we learn, that drawing near to God results in going far for God. So if you draw near to God, what you're going to discover, it's going to compel you to go far from God with hope, with who he is. God, and this is, now I apologize ahead of time to you introverts, because extroverts are more like God in that God is an outgoing God. He is a people person. He is out there among all the people all the time, everywhere. Why? Because it's his nature. He is an outgoing God. And he delights. He rejoices. It thrills him to make himself known, to make his glory known to human beings. He is thrilled to do it. And when we see Jesus come, he was sent by God the Father from heaven to earth, and he dwelt among the dark, and he did so as a missionary. So get this, if you decide that you want to be Christ-like, you yourself will become a missionary, because to become Christ-like is to become Jesus, the God who is a missionary. Jesus himself is a missionary God. So the more that you know of him, the farther that you're willing to go for him. The more deeply you draw into the word, the more outward you're going to go from the word. God will somehow find a way to compel you that drawing near to God results in going far for God. So I think it's worth pointing out that this is the primary motivation. This is what compels us. Not obedience to the command of God, though that's vital, but more importantly, a response to the character of God. Because we know God, we're willing to go far. God made his people for mission. In the Old Testament, it was Israel, and he shined brightly through Israel so that they could be a come-and-see people, in attracting people to God through the brightness and prosperity and joy of his people. And then in the New Testament, God is more of a go-and-tell God. Come and see in the Old Testament, go and tell in the New Testament, in and under the power of the Holy Spirit, who says, you are going to be telling everywhere, everyone about me everywhere. A go-and-tell country, a go-and-tell people. Jesus was sent, the disciples were sent, the church was sent. And guilt is certainly powerful, but it is not more powerful than growing in your knowledge of God. Now, keep this in mind. If I'm not willing to go very far for God, I don't have an obedience problem. I don't have a missionary problem. It's probably more that I'm not living very near to God. If I'm not willing to go very far for God, I'm probably not living very near to God. Because when you live near to God, you find yourself compelled to go far for God. It doesn't mean you're compelled to uproot yourself and move around halfway around the globe or the planet. It means you're willing to go anywhere that God directs you to go. Say anything to anyone that God directs you to do so. We get more missions. We get more missionaries. We live more deeply on mission for missions when we get more God. When we are immersed in who he is, in the scripture, in his people, in his church, and in his character and nature. Thirdly, and lastly, why does our church invest in missions? Because the Bible is a mission book. Everything about the Bible describes God as the final authority on missions. We don't need a how-to manual. We don't need someone to draft a blueprint for us. Everything we need to do missions, the how and the what and the why, is right in the scripture. You're going to read about missions every time you read the Bible. It's holy, entirely sufficient for churches to take the gospel to the nations. And its primary message is how the God of the universe has sought to reconcile him with sinners. Those who are broken and lost who are suffering with hatred, bitterness, resentment, racism, selfishness, self-righteousness. It's all there. The Bible tells us about a God who is seeking to reconcile himself with unworthy sinners. That means that Christians, people who belong to God, people who are in Christ, saturate themselves in the scripture. They get deeper into God's word, and when they do, it will propel them into God's world. When you get into the word, it compels you deeper into the world. That's how it works. Now, again, this is our identity. We are a family, believers who belong to God. The church, North Central Church, is a family of missionary servants. It is the definition of our nature. And we collectively, as his church family, play a vital role in missions, in getting the gospel out, in gospel declaration and gospel demonstration. We're a vital part of that. We worship together, we build one another up in care and giftedness by our giving, and we evangelize the world. If you were in our Roots track, you would see and you would remember perhaps, or you will discover if you register for that, that one section of explaining the God-given, regenerated heart, one aspect of that is having a new go-and-show approach to following Jesus, that you're going and showing who God is and what he's done, living out that identity. And that's our primary God-given authority from churches, is to carry out the Great Commission. So what can you do right now, right away? Here's what you can do. You could pray. Right now, you can pray. We partner with the Assemblies of God, who has thousands of missionaries around the world. You can pray with us in partnership. Pray for our partners. We support many of them. You can also pray to the God of the harvest that he'll send more laborers. You can pray for the specific people like Annie and the Harshbergers and the Cedillos and others. In fact, this year we'll have all of our supported missionaries on our website. You'll get to see who they are and what they're doing. Pray for them. Be careful, church family. Listen, don't just spend all of your time praying for you and yours. Pray for them. Pray for those who are on the front lines in world missions and local missions. Pray that God makes himself famous through our missionaries. Secondly, you can give. You can give. You can give regularly to those who are going and telling regularly. We have such an incredible response when we asked you to give on Mother's Day, and we said, we're going to get this money out to single moms who need it. And you remember, if you've tuned in the past couple of weeks, that you all gave $2,966, and we got to get a rent payment out to a single mom who is in transition and looking for new work and who is in a season of single parenthood. And you gave, in response to that, you gave enough money for us not just to give to one person, but for us to give to several people. And when you give to support our missionaries by giving through North Central Church regularly, you help someone like Annie Bullard, who you met before I came up to speak. And Annie was able to give some of this Mother's Day giving to the people that she's reaching, the people that she's loving. So we were able to give to those people through Annie. And you made an impact. You made a difference. And I don't want to explain this to you. I would love for you to hear directly from Annie about the impact of your giving on Mother's Day through benevolence to single moms. Here's Annie explaining the impact.
That's amazing. It's a privilege to be a part, an honor to be a part of that in any way, Annie. And we're so inspired by that. Now, speaking of gifts, our church family was asked to give towards single moms on Mother's Day. Typically, in the years past, we've bought some kind of little knick-knack paddywhacks for our moms on Mother's Day, and then they go away with something, maybe a $3 gift card that they could barely use. So we got to thinking, what if we just gave that equivalent amount of money in a way all at once to someone where you could really make a difference. And then what we said to our church was, how would you like to participate with us? How about we're going to give the money away, $300. So this is what it's going to mean. You're going to have nothing on Mother's Day, but someone else is going to have something way more than they expected. And this past Mother's Day, our church family gave $2,900. And we have a single mom in our church family, Stacy Dutterer, who is in a season of single motherhood while her husband's recovering in Teen Challenge. So she's got some challenges. And we are paying rent for her so she can put her income somewhere else in her new job that she's starting. And that leaves us a balance, which we're gifting to you. So tell us a little bit about how that's going to impact, what the impact is there with your missionary ministry to these beauties, and then how that really impacts them.
Yeah, in what way? Sure, of course. First of all, it's been a real trying time for all of us, but in trying to find ways to continue to gift our women with love bombs, which, you know, is just an avenue to build relationship with them, to be able to share Jesus. And so this was one of the creative ways that I've been asking for that I had no idea was coming to me. So last week, when Jeanette had reached out on Pastor Dan's behalf and let us know that we had some money coming our way from you guys who are so generous, I was flabbergasted, so stoked. And so I began to pray, and immediately God brought two of our women to our mind. And so I thought rent. And so we're covering rent for two ladies. And then I also know that provision, God just shows up in provision, and it speaks of his great love, his abundant love. And so from there, we're going to give $150 gift cards to additional moms, four additional moms. But as I was praying, moms kept coming into my mind, struggling moms, single moms from our ministry. And so 99.1 is going to add to the pot. And so we're going to be able to reach seven moms with $150 during such a trying time, because honestly, all of these women immediately lost 100% of the ladies we're ministering to, lost their jobs. So it's been difficult. So the rent, if I could just share this, is going to D. She's a single mom of a little girl. She gets no child support. She refused to go back to dancing about a year ago. And she just got a job a week ago with the hospital. So she's leaving piddly little part-time jobs to have a full-time job. And she says this means the world to me and my daughter. It has taken such a burden off of my shoulders. It is allowing me to not be so far behind. It's allowing me to catch up. Thank you so, so much. I truly can't put into words how grateful I am and how much this means to me. And then the second rent is going to T, as she's the mommy of a single mom of a little boy who's three. And she says this definitely took the weight off my shoulders. With everything going on, this action is definitely what I needed to remember to keep your faith and to keep going. And honestly, that is like such a gift, those words right there. Honestly, as I thought about you guys giving, it really brought scripture to mind. And I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but Isaiah 58 gets, it just ravages me every time. But Isaiah speaks this: is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And so, North Central, you guys are fulfilling scripture. You are operating in God's heart as you've given so abundantly to this ministry. It's not just to 99.1, it's to specific ladies who you are relieving the burden, and you're restoring hope, and you're restoring faith. And I am so grateful to be able to partner up with you.
Love that. It strikes me too that scripture, that prophecy, doesn't say based on how someone got themselves in the trouble they're in.
Let's go.
Or assess them and make sure that they're worthy of the gift. The promise that comes through Isaiah there is that all who are suffering and marginalized, oppressed and cut off, if you have the provision of God, it's on you to make sure that people are restored, set free and provided for through it. So we have a lot that God has given us, and it's a humbling honor to be able to give it away. And you're just doing it right on the front lines, Annie, and you're an inspiration to us. And if there's any way we can help any further, keep in mind, church family, that when you give to North Central Church's Missions Fund, Annie is the kind of missionary that we support on a monthly basis so that she can be free to do what she wants, what she needs to do, and also free to give love bombs to people who genuinely need them. And so thanks for tracking that down, Annie, the impact of those ladies. And would you, don't forget to tell them that it's sent with love.
Absolutely.
And we don't know them, but we certainly know what kind of people they are, and God loves them, respects them, and has in his eyes nothing but the dignity and righteousness of Christ when he sees them. So
that's right. And I'm so grateful for such a healthy, sweet church to come alongside our ministry, because there's been a lot of damage done by Christians with these individuals. And so to be able to say this provision is brought to you by a local supporting church, and to be able to share North Central is that speaks probably just as loud as the $150 provision. So you're restoring dignity, you're restoring hope, you're restoring faith, and it's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, I sure hope so, because we know that God has put us where he's put us to help make Jesus's name famous. And if in the end they think highly of Jesus but forget about North Central, we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing. So thanks for being Jesus to them, Annie, and keep up the great work. We're praying for you.
So thank you, North Central Church family, for giving regularly. There are a lot of missionaries just like Annie that we're giving through to reach people. And our goal for the year as a church family here is about $46,000 would be our 12-year goal. And that's how many people that we have, the amount of money that we've pledged and promised to give. Currently, after 4 months, we're at 11 and a half. And so when you give, you can do it at northcentral.org, give, and then there's a category called missions. And if you give regularly, that means you're regularly supporting and lifting and strengthening people, missionaries, and missions just like Annie. So thank you for doing that every time you do it. And every little bit, don't forget about this, every little bit helps. Every single little bit adds up to help us support people who have been sent around the world to reach people. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That's how far your giving reaches. Lastly, you can do something else right away. You can go. You can go as a missionary locally among your family, friends, and neighbors. But also you can pray not only that God is giving you the power to live on mission, but pray, where might God send you? People like the Harshbergers and the Sedillos and others were in prayer when God prompted them and urged them. Annie called it an unction, where the unction happened, and he said, I'm going to be sending you out of town, out of your comfort zone, to go and tell, going to tell your world and go and tell all the world. So pray, consider, open your heart, church family. Listen for the unction of the Holy Spirit sending, I want you not just to live on mission, but to be a pioneer missionary and to go where the gospel is not yet known. And we live this out together for a reason. And it's not because we're obedient to God's commands. We are sent because we belong to God, and it's his character, and it's his nature. And you can only understand missions rightly if you understand God rightly. Let me pray for you. Father, we pray today that you'd give us all that we need to be people who pray, the people who give, and people who go. And we know that it's in your plan, it's in your design, it's in the word, and it's also in the presence of your spirit in us to be a people who are sent, because you are a sending God. We pray that you'd stir that up in our church family, that you would lead us to pray, give, and go. We pray that you'd raise up missionaries from our young and old, that you would raise up givers from those who are young and old, that you would raise up prayers from those who are young and old. God, only you can do it. It's your nature, we pray. Help us to know you, and by knowing you, help us be willing to go far for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.